today. We thank you for everything that you have accomplished thus far. Your presence is evident in this place. Father, we thank you. And Lord, in the midst of everything that's going on, it would be very, very easy to be distracted. But Father, I think we're going to set our hearts in a direction that just won't allow that to happen. Lord, that we will remember. We will remember. There really is a reason for this season. And it's the incarnation, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, that transcends everything else that has ever happened down through time and history. It will transcend anything that ever comes about. This defining moment when Jesus was born. And Lord, we thank you for the healing that he has brought to us, the hope that he has brought to us. Thank you for eternal life that comes through his sacrificial death and glorious resurrection. There are many who are not able to be with us this morning, Father. Many who are going to be celebrating Christmas in a different way this year, probably different than they had ever celebrated before. But that really doesn't matter, as long as our hearts are turned towards Christ. And so we thank you that we have a purpose in our gathering. And I pray that you use these following moments to lift high your Son and bring glory and honor to yourself. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Morning, Shane.
Morning, Alvin.
Good. Good morning. Good morning, Tom. Yeah. Hang in there, Twyla. He's still a keeper. I do want to mention one thing. We need to get rolling here, but it's an important thing. Jose is with us this morning. He's on leave from the Marine Corps, and it's good to see him. And it was just a reminder that we remember our servicemen and women, because there are hundreds, if not thousands, who will not be home for Christmas this year. They're serving our nation in faraway lands and maybe in close proximity, but just unable to come home and be with family during this time. So we praise God for their dedication and service to this great nation, and pray that they will also experience the very presence of Christ during this time, even if they're separated by geographic location. Merry Christmas from God. The simplicity and the awe, somewhere between familiarity and amazement, Christmas lives. Christmas 2020, how will it be remembered? How will it be remembered? Will it be COVID or Christ? We got one vote coming in from the back. I told you they're rowdy back there, folks. It struck a chord with me as I prepared for this message, and so allow me, please, to reminisce just a little bit, to reflect, to remember. But I went back to my own childhood memories and went through a number of Christmases, obviously not recalling them all, but there are special ones that have a moment that still are alive in my memory. Going to Grandpa and Grandma's house on Christmas Eve was a family tradition. I only had one set of grandparents that I grew up with, and so everybody gathered at Grandpa and Grandma Whitney's house. There was always a tree in the living room that had been cut from the woods, a real tree. And I can remember Grandpa and my dad, my uncle, making sure that it was mounted and standing straight. That was always somewhat of a challenge sometime from a rough-cut tree. High anticipation, high expectations, simple gifts, and I never remember any post-Christmas debt. Family laughter. I remember Grandma's stuffing bread. Anybody ever remember stuffing bread? She would start about a week before Christmas laying bread out all over the living room and different places so it would dry out and get really, really hard. And that was the stuffing bread. The smell of old quilts, only used once a year, as the family gathered in a part of the house that Grandpa and Grandma only opened up once or twice a year. They didn't even use that end of the house. It was just left shut up. And so there were those odors, those smells, an old space heater that was only ignited once a year to take the chill off. You remember them old knotted quilts? That's what Grandma had, the ones, I don't even know what they're called, but they were knots. So you had all them threads that tickle your face when you... Grandpa would be up all night. He'd be pacing around, going around, making sure everybody was warm, comfortable, and getting rest. He had far more anticipation than some of us children at times. And then I grew up, and I got married. Connie got married, too, about the same time. And the battle of family gatherings began. Have you had them? Where you try to start blend traditions and make sure that everybody's happy at the end of the holiday celebration. Grandma Mary's on Christmas Eve down in Waverly. A rush to get up and get to my family by daylight the next morning. Then the Connie's family by noon. And by the time we got home on Christmas Day, our kids didn't care whether they had any gifts or not. But they were good memories, folks. And I want us just for a moment, in closing this little introduction, I remember as age and death and sorrow began to affect our gatherings, as generations began to pass away, and things changed. And I have wanted to think for a moment, how often during those periods of my life did I ever dream I would be the older generation? Isn't that amazing? And yet one thing has remained constant. In a little town called Bethlehem, a very, very long time ago, a Savior was born. A Savior was born. Now, I admit, during those years, I had very little understanding of that, and I'm not sure quite how much I grasp it now. But Jesus was born. New generations have come, deserving their own traditions and memories. And then I thought, in closing this moment, is if I had one spot, one point, one moment in history that I could go back to and capture it, would I like to live there? Are you with me? Does anybody remember a Christmas like that? Maybe just one very special that you'd like to model all the rest of them afterwards. You see, that's what I think we need to do with the manger. Now, I know that I'm treading on thin ice here when I don't go on to talk about his life, his sacrifice, his crucifixion, his resurrection. But there is something so magnificent, so special, so inspiring, so awe about the birth of Jesus. The virgin, the child, the angelic chorus, the simple shepherds, centuries of waiting, and all of a sudden, in one moment, the entire heavens burst forth with the good news that a Savior has been born. goosebumps. Let's stand at the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read two passages, short passages, out of Isaiah, and then start our journey through the Christmas story. Isaiah 7 and verse 14, so familiar. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And in chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Father, may we hear this text again for the first time and bring us to a new level of understanding, embracing it, allowing it to change our hearts and our minds. May you be honored by the reading of your word. May Christ be lifted high. And may we be transformed because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So let us celebrate this morning with that childhood amazement, accepting the simplicity, yet viewing it with anticipation and amazing amazement. This is the story of Jesus. The first thing I would like us to consider is how we can recapture his miraculous birth. How do we recapture this moment? How do we go back and find that amazement and that awe? We have heard this story so many times. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You know, I thought about going through a brief history lesson, and we could talk about the Syrian invasion of Israel, and we could talk about the upcoming Babylonian invasion of Judah, and I could give you all of this historical information, but this morning I want to talk about the birth of Jesus. And yes, there are fulfillments within this prophecy that occurred very close to the time of writing, very quickly after that. But the ultimate fulfillment only could come when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. So let's recap that event from Matthew chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And Luke chapter 1, we continue. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Isn't that beautiful? And please don't tell me you fully understand this. Because if you fully understand this, I will be glad to sit at your feet and you can explain it all to me one more time. If this doesn't leave us in total amazement, then we're missing the whole point. This is incredible. This is beyond our simple understanding. In chapter 9, verse 6, the full explanation is given. A child is born, which indicates natural process, and a son is given, which indicates divine intervention. The God-man is born. I had someone tell me some time back, and I've never forgotten this because I was shocked, actually. But they said, I don't think anybody can really be truly saved until they can explain the God-man. So I said, gosh, I thought I was saved. But this person had reduced the salvation experience to an intellectual understanding. And folks, it transcends all of that. The God-man, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin. Because he is man, he understands our weakness. Because he is God, he can do something about it. He can save us. And please do not deify Mary. This compromises the entire gospel doctrine. Her purity as a virgin, yet simple Jewish girl. Caught up in a time that was beyond her understanding and comprehension. And to deify her compromises our Lord's humanity. The incarnation provides us a Savior who understands from infancy to adulthood, and yes, even through his teen years. And for the elderly, remember, he existed from eternity past. He understands old folks too. The miraculous birth, when a timeless, eternally existing God stepped out of heaven and entered time. A defining moment of which history is dated before and after. Please follow along with me as I read some passages from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, Emmanuel. And we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. How do I intellectually grasp that? I grasp it by faith. It is true. I read something here just this week, and it said that an archaeological discovery in Israel has now proven that Christ will come again. Folks, we have proof. We already have proof. Now, I got to admit, I'm a little inspired at times when history, archaeology reveals or confirms, I should say, not revealed, but confirms the truth of the gospel. But to be honest, I don't care whether they find anything else that confirms it or not. It's true. Oh, Paul writes in Colossians, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. For he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Amen. History defined in one moment. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. beyond our imagination. It transcends our comprehension. It challenges our understanding. It defies the natural order. Yes, defines history in one glorious moment. Emmanuel, the very presence of God with us. And the scripture says he will never leave us nor forsake us. A lot of time spent on point one, let's move. Secondly, let's revere our Savior's majestic names. In chapter 9, verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Every name given him is descriptive and defining. Not only is he Jesus, he is Yeshua. Jehovah says, Yahweh is salvation. He is Emmanuel, God with us. When God provided a Savior, he gave himself. Come on, folks, that's beyond amazing. Isaiah tells us he would be everything that we would ever need. He was given all authority, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Yes, that will find fulfillment someday. Folks, and the corruption of what we know today as government will all be obliterated. It'll be wiped away, and there will be a government of justice and peace and righteousness and truth, and he will rule over his government with peace and comfort and understanding, and we will all worship him for who he is. He was given all wisdom. He's Wonderful Counselor. He will never steer you wrong. He'll never take you in a direction that is contrary to his will. He will always lead you into peace and righteousness and truth. He will always bring comfort to those who are hurting. He'll bring healing to those who are sick and afflicted. He was given all power. Mighty God. His name. Think about it. This is his name. Mighty God. He is our eternal Father. He is everything. He is our comforter. He is the Prince of Peace. He is all-wise, all-knowing. He understands our deepest needs. He brings comfort, peace, healing, and hope to a broken world. There is nothing he cannot do, no sin he cannot forgive, no hurt he cannot heal. He is Jesus. He is Jesus. And because he is our everlasting Father, he will never cease to be all that we will ever need. He has the power to bring peace between God and man, and he gives his peace to all who will trust him. He is our refuge and our strength. And we not only have peace with God, but we live with the peace of God. Thirdly, we should rejoice in the coming of our Savior's magnificent kingdom. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Isaiah's vision took him to the ultimate and final rule of the Messiah. The prophet describes a time when there will be peace on earth, true peace. But you see, in the Christian life, the beauty of all of this is we don't have to wait on it to come. It is presently available now. That as surely as he will rule the nations and rule the world with his peace, we can have his rule of peace in our life now. Eternal life is not something the believer waits on. It's something the believer lives in. Even now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the gift of eternal life, and you will be with him forever where he is. There is such a beauty and a glory of the Christian life, is that we can have peace and hope now. The world has waited 9 months, and I'm sorry I even bring this up, but for the sake of illustration, the world has waited 9 months for a vaccine. And at best, it's temporary. At best, it's temporary. And in my humble, non-professional opinion, will not remain effective against all strains of this thing called coronavirus. By the way, there's one in the UK right now that's gone crazy. A strain that has developed. It's gone crazy, and they're about ready to shut down the entire country because it's out of control. A vaccine has held the world in its grip. A vaccine anticipated, longed for, desired, declared to be the fix-all to the end-all. I am here to challenge the church today. Please, for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, let's get as excited over Jesus as the world is over a vaccine. Jesus provided something that man can never provide, the forgiveness of sins. And it doesn't come by injection, although it might come by infusion. The world waited centuries for this moment, folks. The world waited centuries. Isaiah was 700 plus years before this event, and he waited with anticipation that he would see the glory of God and the Savior would come. What if the church spent as much time and energy, emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, avoiding sin as it did avoiding COVID? What would happen? Christmas is God's gift to us, but the story is not complete. He's coming again, not as a lamb, but as the lion. He is coming to complete his work in the church. He is coming to fulfill his covenant with Israel. He is coming to establish justice and reign in righteousness. He is coming to fulfill the covenant that God made with his father David. And he will sit on the throne of David and reign over his kingdom. And he will reign forever and ever and ever. Amen. But you can have this hope now. Right this moment. And he can reign in each of our lives. He can reign in righteousness and truth. He can bring peace to a troubled soul. He can bring hope to a broken heart. He brings forgiveness. Forgiveness. The Lamb. The Lamb. The Lamb of God, John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb. Can you picture it? You know, I've been to Israel on multiple occasions. And I've been to the historical, supposed place of the birth of Christ on many occasions. And I've stood there and I've looked at all the gold and glitter, all of the ivory and silver and I don't know that adorns this little cutout in the stone and the rock. And I've always thought that is so far from Jesus. That is so far from Jesus. Number one, it could not even begin to capture the glory that he left when he came to earth. There's no comparison. There's nothing on earth that compare or illustrate or demonstrate that glory. And it certainly doesn't illustrate his humble beginnings. So it kind of grieves me. But do we do the same thing? Is it possible? Is it possible that we try to remember his glory by illuminating an artificial tree? Just a thought. I don't want to go too far with that. I miss my grandpa going through the house, making sure everybody was tucked in. Grandpa didn't have much. Matter of fact, he had very little. But he had a family. And we had Christmas every year at Grandpa's house. And it was so simple. So simple. I can remember gathering around an old piano that didn't have a correct key on it that was in tune. And half of them stuck. You've all seen those pianos, haven't you? And we sang songs. And we sang songs like Silent Night, Holy Night. Now, I admit I wasn't very spiritual at that time. I was more interested in the BB gun I wanted than I was the Christ child. But my point is this, folks. I remember those years. Seeds of spiritual truth being planted in my life that would come to mean more than life itself to me now. That's a little bit of my story. What is yours? What is your story? Is your story the story of Christ? Are you still amazed? Are you still in awe? Are you still bewildered and befuddled? Does it still capture your wildest imagination to even consider the truth of these words? If it doesn't, then we've lost the meaning of Christmas. We've lost the meaning of Christmas if it doesn't. Find it now. Find it now. In this moment, before you leave here, find and experience the meaning of Christmas. Come to know the Christ of Christmas. Put your faith in him. Believe. Believe that he was born of a virgin. Believe that he lived a sinless life. Believe that he died a sacrificial death. Believe that he was buried and on the third day risen. Believe that he has ascended to be with the Father. And believe that he is coming again soon, very soon. And believe that the forgiveness of sins can only be found in Christ by faith through his grace. Believe it. And you may very well have your first Christmas ever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the time that we have had. a time to refocus, a time to maybe reorganize our thoughts. And Lord, we admit, we openly face the reality that this year will probably be like no other year in so many ways, yet it remains the same in the most critical way. It's all about Jesus. And there isn't a virus that will ever be that can take that away from us. It's all about Jesus. And the only thing that can separate us from knowing the reality of that and experiencing the hope and the joy of that is to still be infected with this thing called sin. And only Christ can take care of that. Thank you for giving us a Merry Christmas, Father. Thank you for your gift to all of us. In Jesus' name.